1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We had some dear servants of the Lord. If you were here on Wednesday night, you got to meet them. Thinking about that song, "The Longer I Serve Him." I'm guessing on this, but I want to say they were both in their late 70s, based on timeline that they've given me, and or early 80s, and still serving the Lord. And at one time, they lived in the country of Iran. In fact, they lived there before it was illegal to do what people are still trying to do there now. They lived there for, I think, 14 years. And they both speak Farsi, but their skin tone is as white as mine. And so when you hear it, it's like, whoa, man, that's amazing. And so they have some contacts in Vancouver, and they have contacts all over the world, actually. Turkey and other places where they met when they were in Iran. This is way back again when the Shah was involved. And they were here with us on Wednesday night, and they brought a guest with them as well. I don't know what God may or may not have in all of that. I'm just saying the longer I serve him. And I watched them during the service. I watched them during the singing, and I watched them. And I love older people. I love to be around older people, especially older people that have the joy of the Lord. And even though there's a lot of things that are hurting in our lives, and I know that happens, you know, somebody said to me this week, getting old isn't for sissies. And that's a quote. That wasn't my quote. That was somebody else's quote. But, you know, I watched them. They were sitting right in that first little row there where Brother Reuben is, and they were singing the hymns, and they were following along. And they had both got up at 2 a.m. that morning to fly here from Kansas City area. I'm sure they were tired and weary and that. But, boy, you could just tell the longer somebody serves the Lord, the sweeter it grows. And so to God be all the glory. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, we're going to read responsively from verse 13 down to verse 18. I'll read verse 13, you join with me on every other verse. We'll finish up at the last verse of the chapter. "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." Thank you. May God bless this reading. I'll pray, and then you can be seated. Heavenly Father, thank you for all that you've done in this meeting. Truly, our hearts have already been blessed to pray together, to sing together, to greet someone this morning, just to hear what you're doing around the world, our mission team, and what you're doing right here. Lord, it's important that we recognize this great truth from your word this morning, and that we also, especially if there's anyone here this morning that is not sure of their salvation, that God, you would truly speak to their heart. That they need to get ready. And all of us as believers as well, may it be helpful. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. This church that Paul is writing to is what we would call the church at Thessalonica. And he's writing to a group of really brand new believers. I want you to hold your finger in 1 Thessalonians, and I want you to turn back with me to where it all began. And that's the book of Acts, not Genesis. That's where it all began. You thought that was the, I almost could have done that, right? Acts 17. This is where the church began, the church at Thessalonica. And we're going to notice something about this, and I just pray that you'll let the Lord speak to your heart through the message. Acts 17:1. "Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica. where was a synagogue of the Jews. Verse 2, and Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them at 3 Sabbath days. Now that's very important to the message this morning, at least a little bit of the background. 3 Sabbath days, so that we could surmise from that, three different weeks that Paul was there preaching. And he preached the gospel. Verse 3, I'm not going to read all the verses for time. He preached Christ, died, buried, risen again. And notice it says in verse 4, some of them believe. Praise the Lord. And consorted with Paul and Silas of the devout Greeks, a multitude of the chief women, not a few. So there were a good number. But verse 5 says, just like in 2025, it doesn't matter if it's Thessalonica or Burnaby. Not everyone's going to believe the Bible. Not everyone's going to believe the gospel. We even know from Matthew's gospel that the way that leads to a life eternal is narrow, and the way that leads to destruction is broad. Verse 5 says, but the Jews which believed not. So there were a group of people that didn't believe what Paul was saying. They didn't. Not only did they not believe what Paul was saying, they didn't like it to the point that they stirred things up in a very tremendous way. So bad that, let's skip down to verse 10. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went to the synagogue of the Jews. I mean, Paul just kept on going. Isn't it amazing, you know? He basically gets tossed out of Thessalonica for fear of the Jews doing him bodily harm. And he goes right to the next city and he begins preaching again. But that's not really the message. But the point is, Paul started a church and was only there 3 weeks. I've really thought about that. You know, June 3rd, 2001, we started Anchor Baptist Church. I began thinking, I'm not Paul, no question that, but I'm just trying to think about it, you know. You start a brand new church, and then 3 weeks later, you're gone. And it's up to the church to carry on. How much stuff have they been given? Well, Paul can give a lot in 3 weeks, of course, yes. But I mean, so putting that into context, now that leads us to this book, this epistle. And Paul is writing this epistle to this church that has got a brand new group of people, brand new believers. And so there's a lot of things that are question marks. They haven't been taught everything. They haven't heard everything yet. And so there's some unsettledness in their life. Now, this city of Thessalonica was a very prosperous one. It was the capital of the province of Macedonia. And so this was not a rundown city. This was a business thoroughfare, if you will. And so much was being done there. Now, Paul, even though he only had 3 weeks' time, we can see that Paul is very concerned for these people. We can see this because he writes 2 separate letters. Now, this is under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, of course. But Paul's heart and mind are involved in this. So he writes 1st and 2nd Thessalonians to this brand new church. There was some concern, though, in this church of what would happen when someone died. What would happen to their family members? These are believers and they have died. And he writes a portion of this epistle, and that's where we get our text from. Our theme for today is in verse 13, and Paul said, I would not have you to be ignorant. And so I'm not necessarily saying that so much as I'm just repeating what the Apostle Paul said, and that is this, that I would not have you to be ignorant. I would not have me to be ignorant regarding this biblical truth. This passage of Scripture is not so much theological, but this passage of Scripture would be more pastoral. Again, Paul speaking, writing as a pastor, from a pastor's heart, with pastor's concern for the people. It is more intended to eliminate confusion. You know, how about grief, right? Like, where is Grandma now? And Grandma loved the Lord and Grandma died, but where's Grandma? You know, her body's in the tomb somewhere, but
They didn't have all that teaching. And be thankful, by the way, be thankful for all the different ways that we can be taught the Word of God in 2025. Amen. Be thankful, and I'm not saying this about me, I'm saying this just about the office and the other people that help. Be thankful that we have a church that opens the Word of God and says, "Thus saith the Word of God." Be thankful that we have a patch club for your children and my children at one point. I guess it wasn't patch club for them, but other things for them. That between those ages that they come every Sunday night and they get to hear, this is what the Word of God says. It's not what I feel or what I think or what I might be doing. It's here's what the Word of God says. And they're hearing about missionaries and they're hearing about people that emphasize the Word of God. And so, you know, we have an umbrella here at Anchor Baptist Church that we need to say, praise God for this spiritual umbrella that we want to even help people that are speaking other languages that maybe understand that in that language better. We want to help the Farsi speaker. We want to help the Spanish speaker. I'd love to help all speakers that are in this room today if God would let us do it. The point is, we are blessed that we have a copy of the Word of God. We have the Spirit. And remember, they didn't have a Bible. You say, how come they didn't know where Grandma is? Well, they didn't have 1 Thessalonians yet. It was coming. And Paul was writing it. I can just picture Paul writing it. And this heart, I don't know, maybe, was he left-handed? I'm using my left hand. But if you're left-handed, maybe that's what it was. And he's writing that, he's writing it down, and he's thinking about them. He was only there 3 weeks. But yet there was a concern. There was a compassion for this group of people. That he wanted to bring comfort to them. He wanted to help them be at ease. That death was not defeat for the Christian. Maybe you ought to really meditate on that this morning. Death is not defeat for the Christian. Amen. Now, we have had people at Anchor Baptist Church through the years that have died. And it has been sorrowful. And we have grieved. And we will grieve if anybody else does. I'm not saying that we'll have a party for the next one, you know. Pastor said death is not a defeat. So the next one, we're having a party for instead of a mourning session. No, we do grieve, but not as those that don't have hope. So for the believer, death is victory. Because really, it's just a separation for a little period of time. And we'll look at that here in just a minute. As we look closer into these verses of Scripture, I want to encourage you this morning to, first off, examine your heart. Make sure you are ready for this coming. Are you ready for this coming? Okay? This would be not the second coming of Christ. The second coming of Christ is when he comes down and steps on the Mount of Olives. That is the second coming of Christ. This is the return of Christ in the air. He will not be coming down to the ground, but he will be coming to take all of us with him that are saved. We'll talk about that. The second coming is when we come back with him, and you better know how to ride a horse. Amen? If not, you'll immediately know how. That's right. That'll be great. That's the second coming, but that's not the message today. To examine your heart and see if you're ready. I'm so thankful that, I do have something in, by way of introduction that, and I hope you'll take this the right way, that Jesus in this coming in the clouds is coming for a certain class of people. Now that could be misconstrued to think, you know, you have to be, when we say a class of people today, it's not what you think I'm talking about. But he's coming only for a certain group of people. He's not coming for everyone. When he comes, like this verse as Paul is saying, it's not everyone is meeting him in the air. So I ask you this question. He's coming. Are you going? And if you say, I think I am, I wouldn't want to be going on that basis. I think I am. You know, because when you say, I think I am, there could be some doubt there. Because you might not think you are tomorrow when everything in your life falls apart. I'm not saying everything in your life is going to fall apart. But when our life falls apart, you know, it affects our emotions, doesn't it? But by faith, it doesn't matter if our life is falling apart. And by faith, it doesn't matter about what is going on in my life. I'm here today to tell you this morning that you can know so, not think so. You can know that heaven is your eternal home. You can know that this, when this happens, if you're alive, you will be right behind those that were dead in Christ. All right, number one, let's get into this. Number one, we see the people involved in this event. the people involved in this event. First and foremost, we have to say that the Savior, Jesus Christ, is involved in this event. Hallelujah. Notice it says there in verse number 4, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Verse 16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. And so the very first and primary person that's involved in this event is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ coming to take his bride. The one who died to redeem the bride on the cross is the one who returns to rapture the bride. And praise the Lord for that. The one who said it is finished is now in the clouds and we are being caught up to meet him in the air. We notice it talks about a shout. Do you see that there? A shout. That's not a whisper. That's a shout. Okay, and every once in a while, we need to use our shout, you know. And when God speaks to our heart, we can use our shout and we can say, praise the Lord. Not praise the Lord. It's okay. You can shout. But this shout is like none other. It's a shout that will be heard, as they say, around the world. An amazing shout. It's talking about a military command, by the way, is what this shout is talking about. It's the host of heaven assembling for military action against the domain of the enemy. You realize where we are going to meet him, don't you? In the what? In the air. You do know there is currently a prince and power of the air. Go with me in your Bible, please, quickly over to Ephesians chapter number 6. Ephesians chapter number 6, it is a military command. Shout. Ephesians 6 and verse number 12, we read, therefore, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So we're going through this domain, if you will. We're going through the domain of the enemy, but we're going to meet the Lord. So it's not, don't worry, there's no fear in this at all. But it is a shout that is not your typical shout. Another thing that we see is we see a trumpet. A trumpet is playing for the trumpet of God. The trumpet of God was used down through Jewish history. Verse 16, you see the trump of God. In Numbers, we're not going to turn to all these, but the trumpet was used to announce the feast. The trumpet in 2 Samuel 6 announced various celebrations. So the trumpet is very special. So if you're a trumpet player, praise the Lord. But if you're playing the flute, praise the Lord. We need all this. It's a blessing. In Leviticus 23, the trumpet announced a sacred assembly. In Numbers 10, as well as the feast, it was an alarm during the time of war. In Numbers 10 as well, it would help assemble a crowd. And then lastly, several texts in Samuel 13 and 2 Samuel 15, 1 Kings 1, to make an announcement. So putting all of this Old Testament trumpet, and now we think the trump of God, the Jews would have known. Remember, they're reading this for the first time. And they're reading this, not like you and me. We've read this passage maybe however many times. But this letter arrived, we believe, by Timothy. And he delivered the letter, and the first time they open it up and they read it, you have to try to imagine what that would be like. It's hard to really imagine that, really. But in picturing all of these things that we're pointing out briefly, imagine what would have gone on as they read through this beginning, and it wasn't even divided up like this in chapters at that point. But just imagine. So the Savior is there. The people, we're talking about the people. And then secondly, the saints are there. The Savior is there in the cloud on this event, 1 Thessalonians 4. And secondly, the saints are there. Who are the saints? The saints are those who have been saved by the grace of God. Past saints, present saints, everyone. The Bible says, notice what it says here.
verse 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. This is not by the word of Paul. Take note of that. Paul is even saying, this is not my word, Thessalonican believers. This is the word of Almighty God. And I'm letting you know today that by the word of Almighty God, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself, there's the Lord Jesus. He will have the shout. He will have the voice of the archangel. He will have the trump of God. And then notice, the dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive. There's the saints, the dead in Christ, and those that are alive that know the Lord. I would think everyone here would say, I vote for being alive when the Lord Jesus returns. That would just be what we would vote for. But so many other people have gone on to be with the Lord, but they're part of this too. They're not left out of it at all. All saints, past, present, are there. There is no such thing as a partial rapture, by the way. If you are saved, you will make the trip, whether you are dead or whether you are alive. By the way, I do not deserve to be there. I do not deserve to be in the cloud that day with the Lord, and neither do any of you. That is not what we deserve. Oh, by the mercy of God, by the grace of God, today I stand before you, a very much needy man. I need the Lord every day, don't you? I stand before you, though, as the Bible says, a saint of God, a child of God. I do not deserve to say that, but I say that by the grace of Almighty God, and I give him the glory. I don't deserve to be there. I'm wondering, will you be there with me? I hope you will be. As Paul said, I would not have you to be ignorant. I would not have you to be ignorant. The only way we can go and be in the cloud to meet the Lord in the air is through the faith of the one who is coming. And the faith, not that he just is. There's a lot of people that say, oh, yeah, I believe Jesus. I believe in Jesus. But they believe in 45 other gods, too. They just add Jesus to the shelf. I've got all these gods right here, and Jesus is up there. I'm a good person, you know. I believe in Jesus. That's not what's going to take someone to heaven, simply by belief. The devils believe and tremble. But they're not going to be in this rapture. They're not going to be in this cloud. They're not going to be there. Only those who have not just believed that Jesus is a person, but they believe that Jesus is the Son of God. That Jesus died, was buried, and rose again. Romans chapter 10 and verse 9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, Romans 10, 9 says thou shalt be saved. That has nothing to do with baptism. By the way, three people are getting baptized tonight, maybe more, by the grace of God. That is not going to save them. And none of them believe that, I'm just saying. But if someone were to think that, they would not be thinking biblical. So it isn't through the waters of baptism. As the Bible said there, that if confess with our mouth, believe in our heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. So it's not just yes, I'll check the box, I believe there's a Jesus. No, but for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That's Romans 10:10. And then verse 13, many of you know, says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Have you ever called upon the name of the Lord for your salvation? Do you know that you will be one of the saints in this rapture? Do you know that you will be there with the Savior? Whether you will be alive when it happens, when that trumpet sounds, or when that shout comes, do you know that you're ready to be there? Oh, I don't want anybody that ever, I hope, and I know I've missed so many opportunities. I was talking to one of the teenagers this week, that we need to be ready, ready, ready. Our two of my lessons this week were on sharing the gospel. Two times we get the same lesson with two different kids, young people. And it just reinvigorated me about sharing the gospel. The reason why we want to share the gospel is because we don't want people to experience Revelation 6, 12 to 17. We read that at the beginning. Amazing how God ties all this in. We want them to experience 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 to 18. The whole new ball game. We see Christ as Savior, then seeing Christ as Judge. But everyone who goes out into eternity not receiving Christ as Savior will face Christ as judge. I don't say that lovingly, but I say that based on the Word of God, as we've even read today and have read many times before. So the people that will be there, only saints and the Lord Jesus. Number two, we see great power involved in the event. The power that's involved in the event. The Thessalonian believers believed in the immediate return of the Lord Jesus Christ. However, they were afraid that their fellow believers who had already died had missed out on something. That maybe death was the end. But we know that's not the case, because the scriptures tell us, we know the scriptures tell us, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So when somebody that you know and love dies without Christ or with Christ, they're doing great. Believe me, they don't want to come back. As much as we miss them and as much as we grieve and different things happen that we still remember their memory, praise God for that. But they're not really ready to come back and see you or me anytime soon, because they're in the presence of God. What a place to be. Paul writes this passage of Scripture to let the Thessalonians know, remember, he only spent 3 weeks with them, that there's coming a day that even when the dead will rise again. Think of the power that that involves. Think about how many people have died over all of time that are there in some capacity. Their bodies are in some state, dust probably. But imagine over all these years, all the believers that are in the grave, in whatever form that is. I don't really understand all of that, that all of that's going to just boom. And it's, but think of the power. I don't have to understand the mechanics of the event to be blessed by it. I know God has plenty of power to handle what God says he will do. And if God says he will do it in his word, we're reading it right now, you can mark it down, God will do it. Paul tells us that those who are alive when the rapture comes, that word caught up, we know that the word rapture is not in your Bible, you will not find it, but it does mean that word, those two words, caught up. It means a strong, irresistible, and even it actually has a violent act to it. To seize by force, to carry off by force, to claim for oneself eagerly. It's like the Lord is claiming his bride once and for all with force, and nothing can stop him. The evils of sin and death and hell, none of it. Why? The power of Almighty God. And think about this. You and I have the power of God at our disposal every day. We have the power of God. We don't need to call the bride up to us. But you know what we need to do? We need to say no to temptation. And you have the power of God to be able to say no to temptation. Well, how do you know this, Pastor Turner? Because if you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit of God living inside of you. And the Holy Spirit of God doesn't want you to ever yield to temptation. The Holy Spirit of God doesn't ever want me to yield to temptation. And so what must we do? We must have the power of the Holy Spirit of God in our life, yielded to that Spirit of God, filled with that Spirit of God, Ephesians chapter number 6, I think it is. And we need to say, boy, this power is not to use for any other reason than to have victory in my life and to live for the Lord and to be a witness and a testimony for him. You know, this is going to be a powerful event, but don't look past every day of your life. As a believer, we have the power of God that we can use. Now, God's power is not going to be allowed to be used by you and me when we're living in sin. It's not going to happen. That vessel needs to be clean. It needs to be a vessel of honor. We need to have this temple fit for the master's use, ready. One of the things that we talked about in those discipleship lessons was, be ready to speak to someone about Christ. If I were to come up to you today and I were to ask you, I've never met you before and you've never met me before, and I were to come up and say to you, you know what, somebody told me, I've never met you, but somebody told me you were a Christian. How did you become a Christian? Would you be able to tell me something? It doesn't need to be a one-hour Bible study. Those are fine. But you ought to be able to tell somebody in just a short couple of sentences, this is how I became a Christian. Yeah, that's not the whole Christian life. But honestly, the gospel message is so simple that even a young child can understand the gospel and be saved at an early age. Jesus said, suffer the little children and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven. That power is not just for this event, although it'll be there. That power is for us today to live in victory. There is within the heart of the redeemed, there should be a desire to depart and go to heaven. I have that desire. I'm ready to go to heaven. You say, are you want to die? No, but I'm ready to go to heaven. Can those two exist? Sure they can. I don't want to die, but I'm ready to go to heaven. I hope that we can all have that attitude. And I'm not saying I have it all the time. I need to work on that in my own life. But so we have the people there. We have the Lord Jesus and we have the saints. We have the power there. We have this amazing just power. It's really indescribable. But thirdly, we also have, lastly, a promise. We have a promise there. Jesus makes a glorious appearance in the clouds. The Bible says he will come in the air. He will take his church out of the world before he judges the world in the tribulation. We will be rescued from the earth before the wrath of God is unleashed. Turn to Revelation chapter 5, please. This is a promise. Revelation chapter 5, verse 9. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Turn back to chapter 4, verse 1. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. We will be rescued from this wrath of God. As a believer, we believe that the wrath of God was poured out on Jesus Christ when he died on the cross, and we will not experience the wrath of God. Yes, we will be judged, but that is not a judgment for sin. That is a judgment for works. The Bible also talks about being together with them. Wow. Now you talk about a promise. That's a beautiful promise. Many of you have someone on your heart that you could think about that were saved and they were taken, you might say early or prematurely, or maybe just they were older and, you know, 70 and by reason of strength, an extra 10, they just passed away. But you have a promise here. You have a promise that God says we will be together with them. So while there are people that we miss dearly, please, please, your life and my life is a vapor. James tells us that. We could preach about that, but I'm almost out of time already. But eternal life is forever. Or I don't even know if you could say it's forever. Because can you even put that in there? But someday, as it says here, I'm going to be together with them. What a promise. You have another promise, though. Look at what it says at the end of verse 17. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. I mean, praise the Lord, we're going to get to see our husband or our brother or our dad or somebody that's passed away or a friend. But as the Word of God says here, there is no other reunion that is like our first time to be in the actual presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul said, hey, church, I don't want you to be ignorant of this. You will be there forever. Listen to Paul today. Listen to the missionary, 3 missionary journeys, martyred for his faith eventually, in prison, still joyful, writing, working. I mean, the most unbelievable person to come from where he was to where he did live for the Lord. It's just how God did it. And God has a purpose in your life as much as Paul's, by the way. Don't think for a minute that just because you're not Paul, you can't do something great for God. Yes, you can. But think about it, if you will, as they're reading that, all of a sudden they read, oh, we're going to be with the Lord forever. We're reading that today, and it's a promise. We're going to be with the Lord, not just for a week. There's no weeks. There's no months, forever. This implies that we will go, we are going to be wherever he is forever. Wherever the Lord is, that's where I'm going to be. whether it be in heaven, whether it be around the Father's throne, whether it be on earth ruling with him for 1,000 years, it will be a time of endless praise and worship. That's why I say, come to church and get some practice. Hallelujah. Man, if you come to church and they're like a bump on a log and just sing the songs and there's nothing happening, you're not getting ready for what's happening in heaven. Because it ain't going to be, excuse me, it isn't going to be bump on a log worship in heaven. It's going to be praise from the depths of our soul to Almighty God. I say this morning, let's get started. Let's get practice on that. Hey, tomorrow morning when you get up, get your Bible out and start practicing on your worship for heaven. Get the Word of God out. Let it penetrate your heart. Let it get inside of you, because you are going to be forever if you're saved, and I'm going to be forever with the Lord. I say these daily worship sessions that we have with the Lord, it's just getting us ready for all eternity. Get ready. Man, if reading the Bible's boring, oh, boy, I tell you what, I don't know what heaven's going to be like for you. I mean that. Yes, you might have some dry seasons. Push through them. Ask the Lord to forgive you for that. We all do. But don't get caught up in boring and whatever it may be. And there's some things we don't understand everything of this book. Someday we'll be at the feet of the one who wrote it and we'll understand it all, because we'll have it for all eternity. And get excited about that. I mean, it ought to start in the bottom of your feet and all the way to the top of your head, that you are going to be forever with the Lord. Think about it now. But I got this problem. No, forget that problem for a little bit. So shall you ever be with the Lord. But I got this, you know. No, you don't got anything. You got the Lord forever if you're saved. Can it get any better than that, church? Nope, can't. This is only a short period of time. This is but for a season. But the heavenly is not a season. Forever. What a promise. This isn't from Paul. This is from the Lord. No more tears. Revelation 21:4 says, all tears wiped away. This is going to be the ultimate glory for all of us that know the Lord. Who will be there? The Savior will be in the clouds. The saints will be joining him. It's powerful to just think about all the people that are in the ground for all over the world. Then all the people that aren't in the ground. And then just, boop, there we are. Pretty powerful. But then it's filled with promises. The story is told of one time a machine shop. There was a fellow working there by the name of George. George had a very important job in the machine shop, and that was to sweep and clean at the end of the day. In the machine shop, if you've ever been in one, or I remember Brother Fred, he used to be in the machine shop, and he just had his birthday last week, those of you know Brother Tilma. And he was a machinist, and boy, shavings would be everywhere in the machine shop, and somebody would have to do the dirty work, right? I mean, doing the machining is dirty work too, but somebody have to go every day and do the job that had no thanks or praise. And this was George. He was a born-again Christian. He loved the Word of God, and he loved especially to think about heaven. In fact, some of his favorite songs that he would sing as he was working were "In the Sweet By and By" and "When the Roll Is Called Up Yonder." One Friday afternoon, George was just getting ready to finish, just like he always did. He worked a, you know, steady job 5 days a week, and he was it was just about ready to quit. And someone looked at George and said, "George, are you ready?" Now remember what George looks like. He's been doing a lot of dirty work. He's been picking up all those shavings. I mean, he's probably got dirt in his face and probably from head to toe. And he said, "Yes, I'm ready." But George was as dirty as a young boy going out and playing and coming back in. He would be all dirty. George was not ready, at least to the eyes of this individual. And so, in fact, he looked like he was just getting started. And another person said, "George, aren't you ready to go home?" And he said, "Yes, I'm ready. Look at me, I'm ready." And they would say to him in this way, they would say, "You're not ready, George. You got to get cleaned up. You got to get cleaned up. And he said, no, wait, you don't understand something. And George would, he'd do this every day, but he would have these cover overalls on. And they would be zipped up all the way to his neck. And he would unzip those overalls, coveralls, whatever you want to call them. And he would step outside, literally. He would step outside of those coveralls, and he was a brand new man. I mean, there was no dirt. Those coveralls had protected him from everything. He had the cleanest clothes you could imagine. And all of a sudden, the whistle blew. The shift was over. He went over to the clock, punched out, and he said, "You see, I stay ready to keep from getting ready, just like I'm ready for Jesus." I ask you today, are you ready? You know what? Sometimes the world can really stick on us, can it? And we get in the world. It's just, we're in the world. We don't want to be of the world, but inside is the Lord Jesus. The Holy Spirit of God is inside. We have the robe of righteousness on, and as soon as the trump sounds, guess what? We're out of these bodies, if you will. Or we're heading there to beat the Lord in the air, and we're no longer affected by sin anymore. I ask you, are you ready? Let's stay ready. This is a great promise. You're not saved today. I say this lovingly. You're not ready. You're not ready. And Jesus says, I want to get you ready today. I want to save you today. I want to forgive your sin today by the precious blood that he shed. It's time to get ready. Paul said in verse 13, I would not have you to be ignorant. We're just using Paul's words that all of us in here about what's coming. We would not be ignorant. This is not an all-inclusive Bible study on the subject. You could put a lot more time into it. But for the time for today, I pray that God has helped us a little bit more to understand what's coming and if we're ready. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. Continue to do a work in our heart. Lord, I pray if there's anyone here this morning that is not ready. Oh, even right now, Holy Spirit of God, would you do a work? Father, I pray for those of us that identify with Christ. We've been saved, but yet there's little that we're doing for you. There's no service for you. There'll come a day when we're going to be not able to serve you anymore. Father, I pray that we would take the time that you've given us to invest it for eternal things. Yes, we have to do some things to keep going here, but we should trust you, and Father, we should do everything we can because this day's coming, and yes, it's a glorious day, but it will end our impact, whether it's when we die or we return. Lord, I pray that there would be a revival amongst our hearts today in saying, I want to get ready, not to get saved, but I want to be found serving the Lord when this happens, faithful when this happens. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Is there anyone here this morning that would say, Pastor Turner, please pray for me. I need to get saved. There's no question about it. I believe Jesus Christ died for me. I believe he's God's son. I know he rose again, but I've never personalized it. I've never, like it said in Romans, with the mouth, it doesn't have to be out loud, of course, but I've never personalized it from my heart and received that gift. I need to be saved. I need to do that today. God's working on my heart. I won't come to you. I won't embarrass you in any way, but I would pray for you. Is there anyone like that? You'd slip your hand up. Pastor Turner, pray for me. I'm not sure that I'm saved. I need to get ready, and I need to get ready today. I need to get saved. Is there anyone like that? You just slip your hand up, and I'll pray for you. Anyone at all, either side. Anyone. I don't see any hands raised. God knows everyone's heart. I trust everyone is ready that understands. We have some young children here that we're praying that they would understand at some point in their life. How about it, Christian? You know the Lord. You know this is going to be a time of rejoicing, yes. But I wonder, what are we doing right now? What are we doing that has eternal value? May God help us to really meditate on that. Heavenly Father, bless now this invitation that you get all the glory in Jesus' name. If you're able to, would you please stand with me? We'll have the piano begin to play. God spoke to your heart in some way. Hey, a lot to be thankful for. If you're not saved, would you come even now?
Morning. Thank you for listening all throughout the meeting. Again, it's all our prayer is from the very beginning all the way to right now that that God would be glorified, that his word would be lifted up, and that we would ask the Lord to draw us to himself. If they're not saved, to get saved. If we're saved, to get closer to him. And then also we also come to church because it's our opportunity to encourage others. That is part of being in church. I heard a pastor say this morning that when we watch online, and I know people might be homesick today, and I'm not referring to them, and some of you have had to do that, as have I, we can be helped by watching online, but we cannot help anyone else by watching online. And so, obviously, I'm glad we have online. We have shut-ins now. I'm glad. I'm not saying we don't want to have it. But if we're able to be here, the reason we have this is so that you can be helped and I can be helped, but so that we can help someone else and encourage someone. So I'm so glad some of you are here newer. Thank you for being here. And Anna, so good to see you. Was it Theodore? Please see my wife and I before you leave, please. I'm so glad that you're here today. That's a blessing. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for your grace and mercy in our life. Thank you for this promise that's coming for the believer. And I do pray, God, if there's anyone at all under the sound of my voice, whether here or online, that does not, they aren't ready. That even today, they would just bow their head and bow their knee and accept Christ as Savior. It doesn't have to be in a service. It can be right there in their home. It could be anywhere. Lord, I pray that you would work on anyone's heart here, that they're living, in a sense, a double life. People think they're really saved, but they know down deep they're not. There could be people like that. I pray, God, that you would break through that heart. They would humble themselves and be saved. And then I pray, Lord, as many of us, we know that we're on our way to heaven. By the grace of you, Almighty God, we're saved. Hallelujah. We don't deserve it, but we know we have it, and we're grateful. But Lord, may this stir us. May this reunion, may this stir us to look for people that aren't ready and pray for them that they would be convicted and then convinced that they need Jesus. Oh, give us safety now as we head to our homes. Thank you for each one being here. We look forward to the gathering at 4. We're praying for the Gospel Farsi gathering. We're praying for the gathering at 6 with the classes and the teaching of your word. In Jesus' name, amen.